Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. It's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. You just got the last kid down for bed after a second trip to the bathroom and a fourth glass of water. You know that the baby has already been sleeping for 3 hours, so at any moment he could wake up, ready to nurse. You're just over halfway through your week and you're exhausted. Your husband is working long hours this week because of an important project, and it seems like everything is happening this week of all weeks. The family is leaving this weekend to visit your in-laws, so you probably need to start packing for that now. A load of laundry has to be done tonight because someone needs a clean uniform for tomorrow and your husband is out of clean work shirts. You walk into the bedroom to sit down for a moment before you get that load of laundry in and make sure that the kitchen is cleaned up. And there he is, your husband, sitting on the bed with that look. Sex is the last thing on your mind right now. Doesn't he know how much you have to get done tonight? You have barely spent any time together this week. Why in the world would he immediately jump to having sex? Can't he build up to this? Some conversation? Something? Can't he choose a different night when it's not so insane? You're just way too tired for this. Can't he see that? Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. Look, we've all been there, and whether it's a regular thing for you in this season to be too tired for sex, or it comes and goes and depends on the day, exhaustion and sex seem incredibly incompatible. Sometimes they are incompatible, and sometimes they aren't. That is what we're going to dig into today. We'll talk about reframing the idea of being too tired for sex, how to communicate with your husband on this topic, and ultimately, how to start prioritizing sex in such a way that tiredness is no longer an issue. So does that story sound familiar? I know it sounds familiar to me because a lot of times this is my life right now. So how do we handle a situation like this? Before we jump into specific ideas and tips, let's look at the situation from your husband's perspective. It's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. Work has been insane this week, and you've barely seen your wife and kids. Your wife is getting the toddler down for bed for what seems like the 10th time he's asked for something. You wish you could help, but whenever you try to help with bedtime, you either do it wrong or the kids just cry out for mom. The family's visiting your parents this weekend, so sex is definitely off the table this weekend. You really just miss your wife. It seems like everyone has to be somewhere at all times this week. And tonight, you just want to love your wife and embrace her beautiful body. You feel disconnected and really stressed, and sex would just be so nice right now. Same scenario, completely different experiences. Now, I'm not saying that you should just say yes always to sex, even if you have a million things on the to-do list and you're dog tired. I'm not saying that at all. But I want to start this episode out with this very common situation of extremely different experiences of the same scenario. You're feeling way too tired to even conceptualize having sex, but your husband seems like he's just rearing to go and doesn't care about your experiences. But it's not that at all. It's not that your husband doesn't care about how tired you are. Your husband is just experiencing things in a different way than you are. He's seeking unity. You're in survival mode. Ultimately, this boils down to a communication issue and making sure you're on the right page. You're both seeing sex as serving a different purpose. For him, it's connection during a busy and unconnected week. It's fulfilling a need for unity and love. For you, it's something extra that just isn't a priority this week. Sure, it's nice, but not when everything else is insane. Having sex would really just be for him at this point and not for you at all. Before we dig into that communication part that is absolutely vital, I want to talk about reframing the thought of, I'm just too tired for sex. Maybe you are, but you probably aren't. However, if you tell yourself you're too tired for sex, you will be. You just will. The scripts we use and the words we tell ourselves are powerful. And if you tell yourself you're too tired, you will be too tired. Part of this comes from the all too common assumption that our job as wives is to give our husband sex because it's something he needs that is occasionally nice or pleasurable for us. That is just the wrong way to think about sex altogether. Yes, sex is a gift that we can give. When we engage in sex, we are giving the ultimate self-gift to our spouse, but we are also receiving him. We're receiving his gift of self and entering into union with him. We should look forward to the opportunity to come together with our husband. We should be having sex that is actually good and enjoyable so that we look forward to having sex. If we're having crappy sex or painful sex or sex that is not pleasurable at all, or it's too short, or I could go on and on. If we aren't having sex that is worth looking forward to, then there's a serious problem. And I want to encourage you to get the orgasm course that I created. There's a link in the show notes for that. But that's not what we're talking about today. Let's look back at that scenario that we started the episode with. What if after getting your toddler to bed, you walked into your bedroom and your husband had set up an activity that was both highly enjoyable and deeply relaxing? Maybe you're thinking of a bath or a massage or a really good book with a cup of tea. We probably wouldn't say we're too tired for that. We'd be excited to do that thing. We might say something like, okay, I've got one more load of laundry started and the kitchen needs to be cleaned up. Can you do the kitchen while I do the laundry? Guess what? Sex is supposed to be highly enjoyable and deeply relaxing. Even more so than any of those things I mentioned, the massage or the book or the bath. We just look at sex in the wrong light so often. We see sex as a chore, as a difficult task, as something that consumes a lot of energy. We put pressure on ourselves to get to orgasm or to do the right things so our husband has a good time. We put pressure on ourselves to get aroused in a certain amount of time so that our husband doesn't get bored or give up. We put pressure on ourselves that if we don't have regular sex with our husband, he's going to resort to masturbation or pornography. Ladies, if any of those sound like something you do or something you think, pause this episode right here and just take that to prayer, please. Sex is a place of coming together, a place of deep intimacy and unity. When we put expectations on that deep intimacy and unity, we start to ruin it. Let me give you an example that actually doesn't have anything to do with sex. I love a good opportunity for adoration. I was exposed to adoration in high school and I thought it was great, but I had kind of a twisted idea of adoration. See, I was exposed to adoration for the first time at a charismatic conference, and big things happened to people there. There was the gift of tongues. There was resting in the spirit. There was tears and fainting and everything. Now, I'm not saying that any of those things are bad things. They all have their place. But I understood adoration as experiencing those things. I expected to have this crazy thing happen to me while I was in adoration. And when it didn't, when I didn't get the gifts of tongues or faint, I thought there was something wrong with me, that I wasn't praying hard enough or doing it right. I just recently got back from SEEK, which is the Focus Conference, and it was amazing. And one of the nights they do a big adoration service with music and they process the monsters around and there's over 20,000 people there and it's just beautiful. I came to that adoration service with nothing, no expectations. I was exhausted. I was wiped from being around 20,000 people all week. I had been having hundreds of conversations a day telling people about my ministry and networking. I just sat and received, and it was so profound. I came with no expectations whatsoever because I couldn't muster any expectations because I was just too tired. But I knew that I could give myself and that I could be present. I didn't put any expectations on the evening, and that allowed the evening to be restful and rejuvenating. This plays out similarly in sex. When we put expectations that we have to have a really explosive orgasm, it's probably not going to happen very easily, if at all. Or if we expect that we need to be able to get aroused in roughly 3 minutes, and any more than that is taking too long, then it starts to get harder to get aroused. But if we come to sex with exactly what we have, with ourselves, and we just give that gift that we have, tiredness and all, then that's when the most deeply intimate things are able to happen. Because we're not putting on a mask. We're not pretending to be turned on or rearing to go. We're being ourselves and we're being honest. We can say things like, okay, dear husband, I'm exhausted. So you're going to really have to give 80% effort here because I only have about 20% to give. All right. Let's move on to talking about communication and some other ways to support this scenario that we're working with. In that scenario, the wife and the husband were looking at the same series of events from totally different angles, and both chose to act in ways that made sense, but ultimately frustrated the other person. The man initiated sex, which frustrated the wife. The wife said no to sex, which frustrated the husband. There's a serious lack of communication here. Communication involves both talking and listening. A lot of times we think about communication as just telling the other person our feelings and our needs and our wants, but that is only half of communication. We need to share both our wants and needs and actively listen to the other person's wants and needs and then work together toward a solution. That doesn't mean one person just always folds and agrees with the other. It means that you actually work together to solve the issue at hand. So in this scenario, when the man wants sex because he's feeling disconnected and he recognizes the need that his marriage has for unity and connection, and the woman just really needs a break and really wants to sleep more than having sex, that couple can come together and see both sides and communicate about it. The woman here can advocate for her need for rest and a break. If this is you all the time, then you and your spouse need to come together and find concrete ways that he can take burdens off of your plate. Maybe while you're putting the kids down, he works on cleaning the kitchen and folding laundry. Maybe there's some way that he can take the burden of cooking dinner on nights that you plan to come together so that you can get a little rest. Maybe all it takes is giving you 10 minutes of quiet and peace after getting the kids down for bed before he initiates anything. If you're feeling overwhelmed to the point of exhaustion because of everything you have on your to-do list, and that's making sex become a checkbox or something you begrudgingly do, then something has to give. You cannot keep living like this. It's not healthy for your marriage. You need to find support. You need to find childcare, order takeout a few times a week, give some of your to-do list to your husband, hire a cleaning service. If you homeschool your kids, you need to find an after-school care you can send them to a few times a week so you get a mental rest. Something. And yes, I recognize many of these things cost, and some of them cost a lot, and budgets are tight. I know a lot of you have a single-income household, but here's the thing. If the way you are currently living your life puts such a strain on your marriage that sex becomes a checkbox and a burden and something you disdain doing, then something has to change. It's not okay to keep living like this because sex is a massively important part of your marriage. It's both the fruit of deep intimacy in your marriage, and it also serves as a way to deepen your bond with each other. Sex is the renewal of your wedding vows, and it is the most efficacious way that grace enters your married life. Sex is really important to your marriage. Now, let's turn back to that original statement of, I'm too tired for sex, and talk a little bit about sleep and sex drive as we close out this episode. Stress is the number one indicator of sex drive. If you are stressed, your sex drive is probably going to plummet. And the same goes for sleep, because sleep is affected by stress and it affects stress. If you're not getting enough sleep, you likely will have almost no sex drive. And that is because sex is not a survival instinct for women. If your body is under stress, you are in fight or flight response, which means your sex drive gets thrown out the window. So I give you this challenge that I regularly give to my one-on-one coaching clients. Get at least 8 hours of sleep for the next 30 days, and I promise, I guarantee, your sex drive will be significantly higher. But that means you actually have to prioritize sleep so much that you actually get 8 full hours of sleep each night. That means you need to give yourself about 9 hours in bed, eyes closed, lights off. If you have a nursing baby or a toddler who wakes up a lot in the night, then you need to give yourself about 11 hours in bed, closed eyes, lights off. That's to account for the time spent out of bed throughout the night. And I know what you're thinking. That is crazy to actually set aside that much time for sleep. But again, this isn't just about sleep. It's about the health of your marriage and the grace of the sacrament and the grace that comes through the act of sex. Trust me, it's worth it to prioritize the health of your marriage in these ways. If you still think I'm crazy, then sit down and assess what is keeping you from going to sleep at 9 p.m. every night. Is it chores? Get a housekeeper or ask your husband to take something off your plate. Is it TV or YouTube? Stop watching TV at night. Your sleep and your marriage are far more important. Is it your phone or social media? Cut it out. Is it work or school? Then you need to find ways to manage your time so that you can go to sleep at a reasonable time. Is it volunteer or ministry work? Guess what? Your volunteer work and your ministry work isn't going to get you to heaven. Your marriage and your husband is what's going to get you to heaven. So maybe it's time to say no, or it's time to step down. I know that I recently had to step down from some volunteer commitments that were causing stress and also taking up some time that I needed to spend on self-care and my own marriage. Basically, assess your life and figure out what is keeping you from getting adequate sleep and then cut it out. If you're not sure how to do that, reach out to me and we'll set up a free 15-minute coaching discovery call and I'll help you get set on the right track on what to start prioritizing and what to start cutting out of your life so that you can prioritize your marriage and your sex life. So, in conclusion, first off, when it comes to the statement of I'm too tired for sex, let's reassess the situation. Take a look at what's going on and what you need in order to feel ready for sex. Maybe that is your husband taking some things off your plate. Maybe that's reprioritizing some things in your life. Maybe that is just that you actually are too tired and that you need to prioritize sleep. Communicate these things to your husband. Tell him how you feel and then listen to what he's thinking as well. Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.